Chapter 1. Lead by Example. Leadership and Management. I stood beside the imposing presence of the Attorney General of the Cayman Islands, looking out at a battlefield of overturned airplanes, twisted sheets of corrugated metal, and misshapen debris strewn all over what had been our airport runway. He towered over my small stature, me 5'4", and him at least 6'4". We stood in silence, waiting. For what, I wasn't sure. The rhythmic thudding of a helicopter's propeller broke the silence, and out of nowhere a military aircraft came into view. It approached our location and landed within just 150 meters away from where we were standing. Two men dressed in army fatigues leapt out and ran toward us. I couldn't help but think this was like something out of a war movie, but it was very real. The three men exchanged identifying information, titles, and business cards. One of the men was the High Commissioner from the United Kingdom, and the other was a senior-level Foreign Service officer from Washington, D.C. I was in awe of the caliber of the officials that stood before me. Several hours before this moment, I had emerged from 36 terrifying hours enduring a Category 5 hurricane, facing a landscape that looked like a war zone, completely ripped into pieces and stripped of any tropical reference, trekking through miles of debris to offer assistance. Little did I know how a few words would change my life forever. My name is Janice McLean. I'm a Canadian citizen, and I'm here to help. Snout and Blackie knew they were outsiders in their families. They had discovered that they were able to communicate with each other with body language. They had invented their own language with signs and with words that are similar in both the Pig and Coati languages, and they would console each other when they talked at the barbed wire fence separating the barnyard from the countryside. One day, the elders of their families, feeling sorry for Snout and Blackie, arranged for changes in their appearance so they would be more accepted. For Snout, a plan was developed to have him sit with his bottom against a brick wall and have several of the stronger pigs push a board with all their might against his pointed nose in order to flatten it. The plan for Blackie was to paint her coat and to sew extra toes on each foot so that she would look like everyone else. When Snout and Blackie heard the plans, they were alarmed and not pleased with these ideas to change their appearances. The two met at the fence and decided to run away to an isolated area in the woods where no one would make fun of them and where they would try to have a happy life. She lay on the cold floor of a dungeon flooded with water. A bunch of tangled weeds tied her hands, and a pair of bony hands grabbed at her legs, pinning them to the dungeon floor. She thrashed her legs, pulled her arms, and tried to roll her body around. Nothing seemed to work. She couldn't scream, and she couldn't cry for help. She wasn't really the crying type anyway. "How long can I hold my breath?" she wondered. She was 29 now. She was full of life and had been on the path to a better future. At least, that was what she'd thought. The water was everywhere. 10 minutes earlier, Orla had held tightly to a rusty steel pipe running across the ceiling of a dark and cold dungeon. Although she was flexible and as agile as a leopard, hanging in the same position with her feet braced against a small ledge halfway through a wall for an hour had pushed her muscle strength to the limit. The Thames River was not as patient as she, and the tides raised by the minute, flooding the drains and leaking water into the dungeon. She couldn't see the floor anymore. She wagered that she would quickly have to get out and find another way to break into the building.